through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain, some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, died my praise on him, like oil from Mary's alabaster box.
Hallelujah.
Don't be angry if I wash your feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. To the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I come to pour my praise on him like all. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You are there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. What better way to begin to minister about a wise woman? And this was not a woman in a parable, But this was a true story of a woman that gave precious oil, the most costly item in her life, because of her undying love and compassionate love, compassion for Jesus. She was led by God right into the home of Simon the leper, where all the other disciples were present, and they had no clue why she was there or what she was about to do. But this was one of the most sacred, profound, holy moments in the life of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, in the life of the love of her life, Jesus Christ. And that's how she got in there. And her name is Mary. And it's a challenge between two gospel writers, which Mary it was. One says it's Mary of Bethany because he says it's the anointing at Bethany. Another says it's Mary Magdalene because seven demons were cast out of her. And in return, she had a love for Jesus that I don't think she had ever experienced before in her life from setting her free. She was set up by a multitude of church leaders only to put Jesus on the spot. But the woman was delivered by her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was the church leaders that were put on a spot. And she came in the room knowing what she was about to do. I'm not sure if she knew why or what this would represent to the Christ. But she broke that box and anointed his head, which represented so much to him, which those that were present in the room could see, but they couldn't see. They could hear, but they couldn't hear. They were present, but their minds were on something else. But the woman with the alabaster box, in Matthew 26, it says, when Jesus in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster box of very costly precious oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Hallelujah. Jesus just told the story of the parable. And this is a true story in Matthew 26. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about a parable. A parable is a story as well, but it's a story to give a lesson. Hallelujah. And in this case, It's a story to teach a moral or a lesson or a religious principle, an instruction or a lesson, to make a point, to instruct on a proper course of action. So the topic tonight is you five wise virgins, watch the gates. This was a parable that Jesus talked about. But the woman with the alabaster box in the next chapter is something that he explains the parable and then he gives the event. An event where she came in. Hallelujah. Just by herself. Imagine God leading you just by yourself to do something to honor him and magnify him and glorify him. Just imagine, she wasn't scared. She wasn't afraid that his disciples were present, the men that walked with him and talked with him and traveled with him. She knew that what she was carrying was priceless. And what you're carrying is priceless. The anointing oil of the Holy Ghost. What better way to introduce this podcast tonight but by the anointing oil of the Ruach HaKodesh. And the Bible says that she anointed him. She poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Isn't that exactly what God's going to do with the remnant on the day that the bridegroom cracks the sky to open that door or that gate of heaven and let us in? Because we have the oil of the Ruach HaKodesh flaming and burning on the inside. And that's how Jesus recognizes us as the five wise. And isn't he opening that great big door as the bridegroom for these five wise virgins to be seated at the table? So this is how the Lord gave it to me as the reality of what is going to happen in the rapture. The rapture for the remnant. Hallelujah. Just five wise representing the remnant. That they were the only ones ready when the bridegroom came to the door. And Mary with her alabaster box. Hallelujah. She came in ready to anoint the anointed one, to pour the oil over his head, the anointed one. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste?" See, they had eyes but could not see. They were there present, but they could not hear. They didn't understand. And they said, "For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me." That's all the remnant needs to focus on, is doing a good work for Jesus, who is the bridegroom. Not no foolishness that has to do with money and pride. Hallelujah. Not any of that the disciples thought about, were concerned about. And Jesus says, "For you have the poor with you always, but me, you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my head, she did it for my burial." I don't even know if she knew why she was being led to do it, why she wanted to do it, why she felt to do it. But God the Father knew, and Jesus knew. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever this gospel is preached in the whole world," that's like right now, "what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. What a powerful, powerful honor God presents to this woman on a daily basis throughout time and eternity, because she, against all odds, alone by herself, she didn't take her friends, she didn't take her spouse, if she had one, she didn't take anybody. She went alone by herself. The greatest things that God gives us to do is alone by ourselves. He anoints us alone. He anoints us where he wants to. It could be in the corner, in the dark, to bring light in a dark place. The anointing always brings light. She carried the anointing in a closed box, but it had to be broken open. She served the Lord. She served Adonai Elohim with her most precious feeling on the inside for Jesus, the King of Kings. He was her Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wasn't behind a door at that time. He was out in the open in someone's home, relaxing, waiting. He knew she was coming. She may not have known she was coming. But she came and she did one of the most holiest, profound acts upon our Savior that anyone could do. I believe that this story had to be told soon after the parable of the five wise, because she was exhibiting herself as the wisest person in that room next to Jesus. There were no other women in the room. How about that, ladies? Hallelujah. The men couldn't even see the light. They didn't understand the oil, the value, the representation of the oil. They did not understand. Oh, my God. And God just showed me this evening the difference between the parable that he so sharply brought about, a distinction between who he knows and who he does not know, who he's letting in and who he's not letting in. Hallelujah. Who is filled with the Ruach HaKodesh on fire for him, hallelujah, willing to give it up, to die for him at all cost, no matter what, not caring who's present, not caring who sees or doesn't hear or doesn't see. All the remnant that's ready to go through the door when the bridegroom opens it, when God, Jesus Christ, cracks the sky and calls up his bride, hallelujah, is going to be like this woman with the alabaster box. Hallelujah. There's no other representation of her elsewhere in the Bible. It's very clear what the oil represents. And it has to be in you. It has to be in me. It's in my guest speakers tonight that are going to bring forth an end time message that I'm waiting to hear myself. But it's something how God used women. How women can break open their heart to God. Hallelujah. That goes up like a sweet-smelling savor. That goes up before God, that drips like oil, even now, from his head to his feet. Hallelujah. With a Ruach HaKodesh that's only formed in a woman like that, can bring out, burst out upon Jesus, even now. Hallelujah. Pour out the love, pour out the oil. Where he receives this oil. Hallelujah. That makes him even more ready, a bridegroom to come get his bride. I don't know what else to say because I'm getting ready to just cry because I can feel such a presence from the Lord. I got all this stuff written down. And I'm not reading nothing. Hallelujah. All I know is that the rapture is soon to happen. That there's so many gates in the earth. We need to recognize the gates that we're responsible for, that we're accountable to open, gates that we're accountable to keep closed. We're accountable. Hallelujah. There's gates of heaven. There's gates of hell. The gate of hell. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Hallelujah. There's gates in our marriage. Gates in the church. There's gates in order. There's gates in creation. There's order in all of these. The five unwise were out of order. That's why they didn't get in. The five wise had order. They knew what they needed to maintain the order, to maintain their character, to maintain their position, to maintain their integrity, to get in through the door when the bridegroom welcomed them in. So this is my opening. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, and I'm the founder, CEO, and director of Gatekeepers Ministry International. And this Gatekeepers Ministry podcast, and I haven't been on the radio, on the podcast in a couple of months, but God has revived me again. And he said, when you finish doing this for a season, then I have greater works. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get greater. It's only going to get the gates open for you, Linda. So, Father God, we just come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We thank you for this day, Lord, how you woke us up this morning, how you've given us divine provision, divine health, divine sight, how we can walk by faith and not by sight, how we can discern the directions, the right directions to go in because of your Ruach HaKodesh. How can we can be builders of gates, of our ministries that you've blessed us with, our homes, our families, our children? How we can identify ourselves as gatekeepers, willingly and willing to obey you, to keep our eyes and our focus on holiness at every gate. on character and integrity, the character of Christ in every gate. Father, we thank you for this podcast. We ask that you would watch over it, breathe upon it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Use us for your honor and your glory. We thank you, Lord, for this platform, to use the platform one more time, that we would lift you up and give you praise. Sometimes, Lord, only you know what's within us. Lord, we can work at it and pray at it, and only you, by your Holy Spirit, can bring it out of us. So, Lord, I thank you again. And I ask, God, that you would anoint afresh Prophet Jacinta Calhoun, Bishop Sylvester Wright, my guest tonight, your guest, your honored holy vessels, your woman of God, your man of God, to present your word, hallelujah, about and with and for this end time message. Touch the hearts of the listeners. Lord God, give us an ear to hear what your spirit is saying to the church right now. You could crack the sky in any minute. The Antichrist is sitting back waiting for his time, and he will not be revealed or exposed until after you do. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Holy wisdom, not man's wisdom, but your wisdom. Jesus, that's the wisdom that we need. We need wisdom to discern evil from good. Lord, we were raised to know right from wrong, but we need wisdom to discern evil from good. Because nowadays evil is made to look like it's good and good is made to look like it's evil. But Father, we know that your hand is upon our lives. And Lord, we know who we are as a remnant. So God, I thank you and I give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Praise God. I'm so honored. I'm excited. I didn't know I was going to say all of that. I didn't even know I was going to open the broadcast like that, but I praise God because it's his way or no way. And I just want to give a shout out, since I haven't in so long, giving a shout out to the nations. We must have at least close to, if not more than, 100 nations that tune in to Blog Talk Radio, Gatekeepers International Ministry. I remember when this started out with a question that the Holy Spirit gave me to pick out people from their titles and profiles on LinkedIn and ask them this question: what is the definition of a gatekeeper? I had no idea what God had in mind about it, but I just did it. And I went through almost, I don't know, a couple hundred people on LinkedIn. And believe it or not, they all responded. And there were bishops that responded that did not have their title on their profile. I didn't even know who they were until they said they were bishops in their response. There were apostles that responded. There were prophets that responded. And that these people only had a business name on LinkedIn. They didn't have their ministry title or their ministry name on LinkedIn. And they were writing back to me that you're not just Gatekeepers Ministry. You're going to be Gatekeepers International because God is going to take you and the ministry international. And he has done just that. I was so honored and humbled at all the responses for all the church leaders that can't answer my emails or don't think that I'm good enough for you to return my calls. Hallelujah. One question from God caused these anointed remnant to respond to me. A woman of God hidden in humility, hidden in grace, just asking a question that God said to ask. And hundreds of them responded with paragraphs and sentences and meanings that I just never thought would be written on those pages. I didn't even understand what a gatekeeper was in the fullness of the understanding like I do today. But I just wanted you to know that in the initial steps or in the beginnings of different things in your life, you might not understand why God is telling you to say this, do this, go there. But only in time, and if you're obedient, you will be honored by God because of your obedience. And people will come out of great walls and great doors and great ministries and tell you what God has in store for you, like he did with them for me. So I just praise God. I just came from Dubai, and it was such a spiritual time for me, knowing that these leaders, sheikhs, the king, the prime minister, were of or are of the seed of Abraham. And I couldn't do anything less but dwell on that the whole time I was there. Understand it all. But I know that the God that sits on the throne, Adonai Elohim, loves the seeds of Abraham, the Ishmaels, as well as Isaac and the seed of Isaac. I know that God has blessed the Ishmael nation. I saw it. I walked the ground. I looked at it. Even in the desert where I was, I could think of Hagar. And it's something to walk the streets in Israel. And it was also something for me to walk on this land that I know that the founders of this land that built this land were of the seed of Abraham, because God said he will bless them. And I believe with all my heart that God loves them and wants them saved. And I'm just going to tell this little story before I introduce my first guest, which I didn't expect her to be on this soon, but praise God she is. When I lived in China, I was a missionary to China, and I had the privilege of meeting a Jewish couple, and I became such friends with the wife. We both were in Women Aglow, and she began to take me to Women Aglow events in Hong Kong, China. That's where I met someone who was my bestie right now, Pearl Corbin. I met her in China, ambassador to China, lived in China, had a residence in China, and took babies off the street in China, and we are still friends, and she's my bestie. I talked to her today. Her husband was a researcher and a teacher in Hong Kong, and I would glean at his feet and just listen to him talk. He found on the map where the Garden of Eden had to be. He found on the map where the river Euphrates had to stream through the Garden of Eden. And he said to me, Linda, it would only take one major Muslim to receive Christ in his life, to accept Christ in his heart as his Savior, to lead the whole nation of Islam to Christ. Now, I'm simple enough to believe that that could happen because I was in China with them in 2004 and 2005. And I might not remember everything that happened there, but I remember his words, and I remember that distinctly when I was in Dubai. And I felt some kind of emotion and tenderness for these Muslims that surrounded me. They have a secret somewhere. There's no homeless. There's no drugs on the street. The streets are as clean as your home should be. And I said, what is their secret? And I asked a Muslim, and he said to me, the people love them. They don't need security where they walk around. They don't need security guards. They're not armed. The people love them because they use their authority to please and take care of the people. And that said so much to me in comparison to our United States of America, where not only does the president have to have armed security, but we do too nowadays. So I'm saying all this to say that I believe that there could very well be a Muslim in a high place, that God could lead one of us that loves to lead souls to Christ like me, to this one Muslim that would take a risk and given his life to Christ, and he would be so protected by the angels of the Lord that he would rise above all the opposition that he knows would come against him in doing this, and lead a nation of people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that, because ever since I was in Dubai, that has been on my prayer time before the Lord. Show me who he is. I will spend whatever it takes to get on a plane and to get to him. If you show me, you'll make a way for me to get to this person. For that person to be used by God to lead a nation. I'm not talking about a group. I'm talking about a nation of Abraham's seed. What a glory that would be. My God. So I just want to leave you with that thought. I think he could lead me to that person. I've worked in the White House. I've addressed presidents of the United States in the past, so I'm not intimidated by leadership. I was hoping that I would run into the sheiks on the street or in the mall when I was there, because they say they walk through the mall, they'll take pictures with you, they're friendly. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like friendly. So I just want to give a shout out to some of these nations real quick. Hallelujah. China, Mongolia, Germany, Brazil, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Jamaica, Argentina, Nigeria, Thailand, Vietnam, Sweden, South Africa, the UK, London, South Korea, the United States of America, Mongolia, Peru, Venezuela, Turkey, Slovakia, Nicaragua, Malaysia, hallelujah, Trinidad, Netherlands. We give you praise, and I just want to thank you all across the globe that tune in to this broadcast, whether tonight being live or streaming. And in streaming, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And you can listen to the broadcast at any time. You can go to my Facebook page, Linda Caceres, and you'll see the link. You'll see the flyers. You'll see everything that'll get you to hear this broadcast again. This broadcast goes on demand within less than a half an hour after we close. So right now, I just have the honor and the privilege of having my sister in Christ, prophet, prophetess. I think a real prophet. I know Deborah was called a prophetess, and she was definitely a real prophet. Sometimes I know that a prophetess walks in the office of a prophet, and I just call them prophet. And I haven't had her on the broadcast in years, but I'm honored and humbled tonight. And I know that she made an extra effort to get here on time, because I told her she was going to be the first speaker. But then once I knew that she needed a little added time, which was fine with me, the God just put me up there. And so I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Prophetess Jacinta Calhoun, welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I just want to thank you, mighty woman of God, seer, evangelist Linda. You are such a blessing to the body of Christ. I want you to know that, really, really know that you are a true and authentic voice that God uses in this earth, especially at this time and this hour. I am forever grateful for you just inviting me on and opening up your platform to share what thus said the Lord and what God has given unto me. I just want to thank you and bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak upon you even now a thousandfold blessing. Whatever it is that you have before the Lord, that you are seeking him diligently for, I decree and declare that you shall indeed have it in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you bless her comings and her goings, oh God, for she is blessed in the city and she is blessed in the field. Oh God, she is blessed when she lies down and she's blessed when she rises up, oh God. Even the fruits of her womb is blessed, oh God. And she will know no lack, oh God, because your word says that she will not lack any good and beneficial thing. So, God, we thank you for the woman of God this hour, and we bless you for the oil. The oil and which she carries.
Hallelujah.
The oil that flows, oh my God, down
Hallelujah.
Her head to her toes in the name of Jesus. The love that she has for the people of God. Lord, your word says that
Hallelujah.
You are not unjust to forget her labor of love, God. You are not unjust to forget what she has done in your name and for your people as she continues to do for your people. I ask that you bless
Hallelujah.
Her, God, and bless everything that is attached to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you.
Thank
to
you,
all
Lord.
Of you that are on the line, hallelujah, right now listening under the sound of my voice, I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that you are on this line for such a time as this. I believe that the word you will hear, not just out of my mouth, but out of all the guests tonight, God, hallelujah, this word is a timely word. It is a word in season, and it will bless you. It will bless you, and it will keep you if you allow it, hallelujah. So I want to touch on what God is saying. But I want to first acknowledge the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, who is the very center of my life because he guides me. Hallelujah. He mm-hmm. orders my steps. My footsteps are ordered by his word. His word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. The word of God says that we are to acknowledge him. We cannot lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways we are to acknowledge him, and he, hallelujah, shall direct our path. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak through me tonight. The oil I carry is not of my own. It is what you have given me. And I ask you now, Holy Ghost, to speak through me. The word you have for your people, touch the hearts of those people right now. In the name of Jesus, you know and you search the intents of the heart, and you know the intents of the mind, oh God. You know our thoughts are far off. God, you know where everyone is right now in their life. And you will provide, as your word has already declared, you will provide everything that they need. And in their times of trouble, in their times of challenges, God, you will bring back to their remembrance the very word you've spoken, the very promises you've spoken, the very declarations you have spoken over their life, and it will give them strength. Oh, glory be to God. So, God, have your way on this line tonight. And bless every speaker, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, let's get into this passage. Hallelujah. I was so excited. Let me just say, people of God, I was so excited when I got this call. Because this is a word that has been already marinating in my spirit. Ha! I knew it was God. I knew it was the word of the Lord for this hour. Hallelujah. The parable of the wise, mighty woman of God, you heard from the Lord. Hallelujah. But this parable of the wise virgins is very crucial in this particular time. How many of you just know that we can look at many different things? We can just look around us and we see the calamities. We see the distresses. We see the challenges, and we see the burdens of the people. We see the hardships. Amen. Even from government down to just local people. Come on, somebody. We can see that all the signs that Jesus himself, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, when he spoke these words in scripture, beginning in Matthew chapter 24, he told us signs that we can look for. Now, none of us know the hour. No man knoweth the hour but God himself, when he will send his son, Jesus, Yeshua, back to this earth. No man knoweth that. But Jesus gave us clues. How many know he gave us clues? Amen. He said, when you see all these things happening, know that it is at the door. Know that I am nigh. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So in chapter 25, I find it just, and in just total awe, when you see the discourse Jesus just had in chapter 24 with his disciples, and then he follows it up, hallelujah, with these parables in chapter 25, in particular, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Chapter 25 of Matthew, beginning at the verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, hallelujah, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, you need to really pay this attention here. They went out to meet the bridegroom. That means both. That means the wise five, hallelujah, and the five foolish. They both went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise, according to scripture, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish, now watch this, they took their lamps and took no oil with them. My God. My God. They took the lamps. Oh, my glory be to God. They took the lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now, how many of you know, even in modern day, even in modern times, if you know you're going to take a lamp of this type of caliber with you, you need some oil. You cannot see if your lamp is not lit. Come on, somebody. Do I have to say that again? You cannot see if your lamp is not lit. How many of you know that when we walk in our house, and if it's, you know, you coming home late from work or whatever, and you've been out, and it's, you know, your lights and everything are all out, it's dark, you walk into your house, what is the first thing you do? You turn on your lights. Come on, somebody. Because when you turn on your lights, everything is exposed. Everything is made clear. Everything is open. You can see. Oh, glory be to God. So these women went out and took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. How many of you know the oil represents the Holy Ghost? The oil represents the Ruach HaKodesh. We have a lot of Christians that say they are Christians. We have a lot of saints that say they are saints, but have no oil. They have no oil. And you know how you know they have no oil? Because they're not prepared for anything. They're not prepared for anything. They do not allow the Holy Spirit to fully engage with them in their life. They do not allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign in their lives. There's no power without the oil. You can't preach without the oil. You can't teach without the oil. You cannot prophesy without the oil. You cannot pastor without the oil. You cannot operate within the faith works of God without the oil. You got to have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what moves and drives the church today. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will leave you the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is very necessary. And that is what this oil represented in this parable. It was very necessary for them to bring their oil. Now let's continue to read. So they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But listen here, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, can somebody say delayed? Oh, my God, Jesus. They all slumbered and slept. Now, I need you to pay attention to this here. Both the wise and the foolish, because the bridegroom was delayed, they fell asleep. Both of them, they fell asleep. But this is what you have to pay attention to. In ancient Jewish tradition, the bridegroom will leave his home to claim his bride. Mm-hmm. After a series of festivities, including the wedding ceremony, the couple would then make their way, usually after sunset, to the bridegroom's home. Guests who wanted to accompany them in procession needed to bring torches, which were the lamps. In Jesus' parable, the problem is not that the virgins fell asleep. I need you to hear me now. It's not that they fell asleep while waiting for the bridegroom, but that some, can you say some fail to prepare. Oh, my God, Jesus. They fail to prepare by bringing additional oil for their lamps. I'm here to tell you, saints, today, we at right now in the earth represents the church of God, the ecclesia. But within this ecclesia, there are two groups of us. Oh, Rebaka, Shikididi, Osa. There is two groups of us, the wise and the foolish. The wise are preparing for the coming, the second coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. The five are putting their houses in order. Come on, somebody. The five wise watching the gates. We understand that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but he's talking about the real church. Oh, Rabba Shata. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the real church.
Hallelujah.
Hey, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the true ecclesia. Okay? It cannot prevail against the wise that are watching and waiting. He said, watch as well as pray. Come on, somebody. Sometimes some of us, now the foolish, they may believe in praying, but they don't believe in watching. Come on, somebody. They're in the house, but they're not watching the gates of the house. Come on, somebody. They're hearing the word, oh, but they're not doing the word at this time. Come on, somebody. They're going where their itching ears want to hear. See, they want to hear you speak something that's going to make them comfortable. Hallelujah. How many know that the real gospel may make you very uncomfortable? Come on. Hallelujah. But see, you got these five wise people. The five, how many know the number five represents grace? Oh, Lord, have mercy. These five have the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. And because of that grace, they are partaking in all the benefits of that grace. They're watching, they're praying, they're activating. Hallelujah. They're working in the kingdom, but their eyes are wide open so that when the darkness falls, how many of you know that we're living in some dark days? How many of you know that even right now we're in a dark time? Oh, but if you're wise, if you're one of the wise in the church, come on, somebody, darkness have no power over you because guess what? You got light. Hallelujah. You got your lamp ready. Your oil, honey, you got enough oil. Come on, somebody. You're going to make sure you're not running out. Hallelujah. But now notice something here. These five foolish, now to their credit, they were going out to meet the bridegroom. They were waiting for him to come. They went as far as picking up their lamps and going out to meet him. But they did not bring the oil. This, to me, represents a church that claimed they're on fire, but they're dead. This, to me, represents a church that say they believe in God, but not the power of God. This church here reminds me of the five foolish who thought they can go out and buy the anointing. Oh, come on, somebody. Because the five wives had their oil, and they had enough oil, but when the bridegroom, come on, let's go ahead and finish reading. He said, this is verse 6 here. He said, and at midnight. How many know that right now, prophetically, on God's timetable, we're at midnight? How many of you really know that? Do you perceive, do you understand the hour, the time? Do you discern where we are? We are at midnight. Come on, somebody. And a cry was heard. Oh, Lord Jesus. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. So first there was what? A cry. First there was a cry. How many know that right now where we are in this time in the earth, there's a cry going out? God is allowing a cry to go forth in the earth because it's a warning cry. Come on, somebody. It's a cry, even though he may seem to be delayed in his coming. I can't tell you how many times people have said, oh, they've been saying Jesus is coming for a long time, and they've been saying that for years, and we haven't seen him yet. Do you not discern the time? Do you not understand that the reason for his delay is that he is giving you time to repent and to turn from your wicked ways and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior? That is called grace. He is giving you time to receive him. So don't think that his coming being delayed means he's not coming at all. Come on, somebody. We know that he's coming. And the Bible declares he's even near at the door. But what God is doing for many people in this hour is giving you one final chance to come to the light. He is crying out with one final clarion call for you to come into the light. Oil in the Bible is symbolic of his Holy Spirit. The five wise virgins represent those who have the Spirit of God. These are the true ecclesia. These are those that didn't just go to the altar and get saved and walked away and said, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm saved. I got fire insurance now. Come on, somebody. But these are the Christians that actually got saved and then what? Began to sit at the feet and wait. Hey, God. These are the Christians that bathed themselves in the Word. These are the Christians that filled themselves up with the Word. These are the Christians that carried the oil to see souls saved, and they're going out into the highways and the byways, and they're declaring the Word of the Lord. These are the Elijahs of this day. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the five foolish virgins are those who have not truly given their heart and their spirit and their mind, their body to the Lord. They came to him in word only, but they did not allow the word to get in them and began to do the work necessary to make them fit for the kingdom of God. Believers cannot impart the spirit. In other words, share the oil to unbelievers. Each person must receive salvation for him or herself, saints, before it is too late. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time to receive the Lord. The Lord of the household is he's being delayed, it seems, but God is saying, I'm trying to give the earth time to repent. And I'm talking about a real repentance. Now, we went through a lot. We got COVID going on. They're talking about some monkeypox going on. We got, you know, I can go on and on and on about what is going on. But how many of you know, and at that time, there was a lament. There, when COVID first hit, there was a great cry, a great lamentation that was coming up from the earth. But the moment everybody started going back to as usual, we don't hear the cry. The cry done died down. But I'm here to tell you there's another great lament that is coming to the earth. And even right now, there's a cry being lifted up out of the earth. How many know that heaven is still listening for a cry, is listening for a shout, is listening for that righteous cry? This is a cry of true repentance. See, it said at midnight a cry was heard. We've had crying going on, but have that cry been really heard? And I'm here to tell you that things right now in the earth is not going to get necessarily better. There's going to be even more things to happen that is going to provoke a cry, a real, genuine, authentic cry out unto the Lord for his salvation. When you are wise, you prepare yourself. This whole entire parable about the 10 virgins, this is really a story about preparation. How many saints of God can really say today that they're prepared to meet the Lord when he returns? How many saints can really say they're prepared, they got their house in order, they're doing what they're called to do? When God comes, will he find you? What will he find you doing? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Are you really prepared? Because I heard a lot of saints say, oh, I'm so glad. I'll be glad when the Lord comes back. I'll be so glad when he returns. And I think sometime to myself, are you really ready for that? Are you really prepared? Because at this very moment in this hour that we're living in, you know, Jesus couldn't really come back whenever he gets ready. Come on, somebody. How many know he can come back right now while we're even on this line? How many of you know that he don't need permission, oh, my God, to enter into the earth? He can come when the Lord says now is the time. And aren't we really ready to be caught up with them that are in the cloud? Are we really ready to meet the Lord in the air? Or would you be left behind? Because I'm here to tell you that we're entering that time. Oh, I don't know how many more clues or how many more hints or I don't know what else you might need for confirmation. You know how the saints love to look for confirmation. But I don't know how much confirmation you're going to need when all the evidence, all the signs, all the word you need is around you declaring the coming of the Lord. God loves us so much that he even prepares us. He gives us signs to look for. He's allowing us a glimpse into what will be happening on the earth. He said, as the days of Noah was, that's what is going to be in the earth when he returns. Come on, Robo Shia. Are we really ready? I tell you who ready, the five wise, the real great Ecclesia Church. That's the ones that are ready. Those are the ones that, you know, we can look up in the sky any day and expect Jesus. Come on, somebody. We ain't got to be embarrassed when Jesus walked through the door. We ain't got to be embarrassed when he come and sit and knock on the door and ask, are we ready to go? Come on. We don't have to worry about when I close my eyes, am I really going to heaven? Come on, somebody. Are you prepared? That's what your oil and your lamps is all about, being prepared. And you cannot be prepared without the Holy Spirit. You have a lot of churches. There's a group, a sector of saints that don't even believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe they need no Holy Ghost. They don't believe that they need to speak in tongues. They don't believe in any of that. But how can you be prepared except the Holy Spirit be in you to prepare you? You got to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who speaks for God in this earth. When the prophets are speaking and when we're declaring and when we prophesy, that's not something we're doing on our own accord. That is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, speaking through us. We're just vehicles. We're just conduits of his spirit so that he can touch you, speak to you, reveal himself to you, manifest himself to you. I declare unto you, you better get your house in order. This ain't the time to be straddling the fence. This ain't the time, you know, it's all right to have a feel-good message sometimes, but sometimes how many know you need that meat? Come on now. You can't be on milk forever. Glory be to God. You got to have the meat of the word. You got to understand his word and dig deeper into the mysteries of God. Because I'm here to tell you, it's the true ecclesia that he's coming back for. There's going to be a lot of people left behind questioning themselves, how? How did this happen? How did this happen to me? I went to church every Sunday. I went to Bible study every Wednesday. I even casted out demons. I spoke with other tongues. I did this in his name. I did. How didn't Jesus say there's going to be so many people that say I did this in your name? I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. And he said, depart from me. Oh, my Jesus. Them some words, saints, you don't ever want to hear. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. That is a scary thing to get to the day where you get to meet the Lord and hear him tell you, depart from me. I have never known you. I don't ever want to hear that. But I'm telling you, that's what happened to the five foolish. The bridegroom came. The bridegroom came. It says, but the wise answered. First, the foolish began. They even had the nerve to ask the wise for some of their oil. And that's going to be a lot of saints on that day. They're going to recognize the time is no more. They got no more time. You have no more time. And then you're going to be looking to those who have prepared and say, can you please, can you share some of your oil with me? And then the bridegroom comes and the door is shut. My God, this parable that Jesus spoke to, I'm telling you, this is a very profound parable. It is a very clear picture of the real church and those who play church. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell the play church, your playtime is over. It's been over. And if you don't know by now that Jesus is on his way back, you better get back in that word, get your face back in it, and begin to read his word and read what he said. And then you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. Ask him to clean you up, because he's so faithful that he said he is willing that none will perish, but that all will come into the knowledge of Christ. Now is the time to accept him. Don't say, oh, I'll wait later. I can do that tomorrow. I can do it another day. I want to continue to do my own thing first. You don't know the hour in which he will show up. He may show up before the rapture takes place as you sleep at night and take you home. When you close your eyes, can you honestly say, I'm going home to be with my Lord? Have you really given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about scaring you into salvation. It's about giving you the real word of salvation. Because I think we have had enough lollipops. I think it's time now that we say what we need to say. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Come on, somebody. This is the time where you can't be afraid to offend people, because the word will offend if they don't want it. But it's still the word. Come on, somebody. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will continue to stand. You can't change the word. Come on. And I know we have a lot of people that try to do it, but you cannot change the word. The word of God was never meant to be changed, but it was always meant to change you. And you have to allow it to do its perfect work in you. Don't be like the five foolish that had no oil. You be the five wise that is ready, that is prepared, got your things in order. Now, does this mean you're going to be totally perfect and never fall or never make a mistake? Or no. What it means is that you know in who your hope is. What it means is that you know that you have dedicated your life to Christ and you're allowing his word to work all the things out in you that needs to be worked out. Your faith is in him. Your faith is not in yourself. It's in him. So you may fall sometimes. You may make a mistake. But that is why when you truly have given your life to Christ, he said, though a righteous man, my God, falls seven times, he has hopes of rising again in Christ Jesus. What we're talking to today is the church that is not really living according to the word of God. They don't have no oil. They don't have no oil. They're allowing people to dictate their living, the way they live, the way they act, the way they behave, what they do, what they accept. But how many of you know that God's word is still the same today, tomorrow, and forever?
Yes.
Generation to generation will pass, but honey, I'm here to tell you that word will always be what it is. If he said in his word that you are to watch as well as pray, he means that thing. If he said in his word, do not yield your members of your body to wickedness and unrighteousness, he means that word. If he says to meditate in that word day and night, he means that thing. If he tells you to repent, he means that thing. Come on, somebody. Take the word at its value. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. And I know people said it for years and years and years, but I'm telling you, we're closer now to him than we've ever been. We're closer to him now than we've ever been. All you got to do is look at all the evidence around you. If that's not enough to shake you or to put you back into the right place, I don't know what else is going to help you. But this is the time now to accept him. You can't accept him by, you can't wait to accept him because you're waiting on everybody else to accept him. Mm-mm. The woman of God said earlier, you got to do this alone. Huh. You got to do this alone. Amen. You have to make the decision for yourself. You got to pray and ask God to come into your heart, to your life. You have to confess with your mouth. Amen. Believe in your heart. Then thou shalt be saved. You have to do that. And you can continue to pray for everybody else. Continue to pray for your loved ones. Continue to pray for those we believe in to all come into the knowledge of who he is and in the power of his resurrection. But you yourself have to make that choice, because when the bridegroom comes and the door is shut, you want to be able to have made it over to the other side with the other saints. You do not want to be left behind because you wanted to wait for your friend to get saved. You wanted to wait for your husband or your wife or your children. How many of you know that this is a personal thing? You have to make this choice. You have to make up in your mind that I'm not going to be like the five foolish. I'm going to be one of the five wise. I'm going to have my oil ready. I'm going to have my lamp. And not only have oil, but I'm going to have me enough oil. That means, how do you have enough oil? Well, you have enough oil because you continuously dive into the word of God. You continually eat the word. You continually bask in his presence. You continually stay before his throne. You continually stayed up in prayer. You continually walking in the spirit, that you will not obey the lust of your flesh. You continue to seek him and his kingdom and all his righteousness. Come on, somebody. That's how you have enough oil, because when you're doing that, your oil never runs dry. Never runs dry. But you got to immerse yourself in the word of God that generates that oil. Now, I'm here to tell you, saints, I know we're living in difficult times, but we cannot go by what we see. How many know that the just live by faith? We walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot allow things of the world to distract you. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind, but you can't renew your mind without the word. You can't renew your mind without the Holy Spirit. That's your oil. You got to have the oil. We have to get into the word, saints. This is the time to really hold on to the word of God like never before. There's things going on in the earth, and people are going to tell you a lot of things that's okay to do, but it's not okay to do. Not according to his word. You have to please him in all things.
Yes.
There's evil being called good and good being called evil. Mm-hmm. You have to have discernment. That's a call for discernment. Because there's a lot of things that are going to, look, if the very elect can be deceived. See, you have to really be stayed up in prayer, be in the word of God, seeking the Holy Spirit, letting him be the guide and the lead of your life. You have to do that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this ain't the time to play. And that's what that five foolish virgins, that's what they represent. They represent the church that's not ready, that's ill-prepared. We got so much singing and dancing and shouting and running around going on, people not paying attention to the gates of the house. They're not paying attention to the gates they're opening up in their marriage through a lot of different things that are displeasing to God. They're not aware. They're not spiritually aware of the gates that are being left open for the enemy to come right through, because we're not praying, we're not seeking him, we're not interceding. Come on, somebody. We're not doing any of that. We just go to church, we come home, you know, we eat our dinner and can't even tell you what the word was. my Lord. We don't know if the word we heard was real because we're not like the Bereans to go home and read it to see and search for ourselves. Anybody can tell you anything. But when you five wise, when you five wise, oh, glory be to God, you can't tell me anything. Oh, glory be to God, because my spirit, the oil, is going to alert me to what I need to know. The oil
Amen.
Is
Hallelujah.
Going to let me know when there is a true, authentic word going forth or a demon speaking. Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You have to use discernment. Many in these last days will do what he said in 1 Timothy and 4. Give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And saints, we are in that time that if you don't know the word for yourself, you're not going to know a real authentic word coming forth. And you need to have an ear to hear what thus said the Lord. You need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Be discernful. Watch the fruit. Come on, somebody. You will know them by their fruit. Everybody that is in the church ain't saved. Everybody in the church ain't spiritual. Everybody in the church is not living the word. Come on, somebody. The question is, are you? Hallelujah. Are you five wise or are you five foolish? Are you prepared or are you ill prepared? Come on. That's a question you're going to have to answer, because on that day when he comes, Lord, have mercy, and we have to all stand before him and give account, you're going to be standing by yourself, not your friends, not your children, not your spouse. It's you going to be standing there, because he even goes on talking about the parable of the talent right after he begins to talk about the five foolish virgins and wise virgins. He begins to talk about the talent. What have you done with the giftings and the talents that God has given you in this earth? You got to give an account for that when you stand before him. You have to give an account. And you can't tell him, well, I was going to do it, but, so-and-so didn't think that would be good. Well, this ain't about so-and-so. This is about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ alone and what you did with what he invested in you to do. Everybody don't have the same gift. Everybody don't have the same talent. But you do have what God has given you, whatever that is. And you have a responsibility to use it and to multiply it and make good use of it in the kingdom of God, preparing the way of the Lord. So, saints,
hallelujah,
I want you to meditate on this today. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to the Spirit of the Lord that is speaking through me right now. If you are on this line tonight and you know you have not fully given your life to Jesus, I'm telling you, my brother, I'm telling you, my sister, now is the time. Now is the time to receive him, to accept him. Don't wait, because waiting may be too late, and you don't want the door to be shut and you're left outside of it. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Praise
Father,
God.
We just thank you. Oh, my God, Jesus. Oh, my God, Jesus, make us
Hallelujah.
Ready. Hallelujah. God, we just want to be ready, Father. We want to give you all, Lord. We don't want to hold anything back, God. We give you all of our hearts, all of our minds. Oh, God, we give you all of us. Hallelujah, God. Take all of me. Glory be to God. Lord, I want to be fit for the kingdom. Oh, God, I want to be wise. I want to be ready for your return. And I want to have enough oil in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God didn't have me to go that way fully
in the with the five wise and the five foolish virgins because I knew my guests would. But I really do believe that the scriptures are in order. Matthew 25 and 26, just explaining this time and what my sister just explained with a prophetic voice concerning these times, these end times. So I want to take up where she left off and ask you who are listening, my brothers, my sisters, those men and women that have not accepted Christ in your life. Prophetess Jacinta started it, and I just want to ask you, if you have not, or if you're backslidden and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or you want to give your life to Christ right now, whether you're listening tonight live or you will be listening later on demand, just repeat this brief prayer after me, as God made it so simple. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Help me. Forgive my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead that I would have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Right now that you've given your life to Christ, you're a born-again Christian. You're no longer a sinner. You're a new creation in Christ. I encourage you to read the Gospel of John. And I pray that the Holy Spirit leads you. If you're not already in church, and if you're already in church, now you will get the fullness of the ministry in church, of the Word of God. You'll receive it in your spirit and understand what's being said all along. If you don't have a church, I pray that the Holy Spirit leads you to a church. You can find me on Facebook, and I'll help you find a church where you can be used of the Lord and where the pastor preaches the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Prophetess Jacinta, I appreciate you. God truly uses you in the fullness of your gift, and he has done that again tonight. I know that I have been very ministered to.
Hallelujah.
And
hallelujah.
I thank you, and I appreciate you. This was an end-time message, and only those that are listening and that will listen will understand whether they're really part of the remnant or not, whether they're really part of the true church or not. It is will be a devastating thing to think that you are. And God say, depart from me. I never
My
knew you.
God.
It doesn't matter. Signs and wonders, that doesn't prove anything. The Bible says it's by their fruit you shall know them. So we're allowed to be fruit inspectors. And I believe, God, that the remnant clearly know who we are. So thank you, my sister. I appreciate you. I'm very happy and I'm very honored that you came to speak on the ministry line tonight. I'm grateful.
You
can rest assured
when
God gives me another heavy duty topic, I'm going to let you know in enough time that you can make another presentation to us that goes out to the world and all these countries that others will be ministered to and be blessed.
Amen. I'll be honored. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, sister. My brother Sylvester, Bishop Sylvester Wright, I'm trying to figure out if you changed your number on me. because I don't see your number up here.
Do you hear me?
Bishop Wright, can I hear? Do you hear me?
Yes, I do. Do you hear me?
Bishop Sylvester.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Bishop Wright and I went to the same elementary school. His brother was in my class. I think he was a year ahead of me when we were in fourth and fifth grade. And would our parents have ever known back then that my brother was going to grow up and live holy and righteous and become a bishop and have the beautiful wife that he has? And I know my parents never thought that I would grow up and lead some of them to Christ, lead my Jewish grandmother to Christ, and live holy. So I'm honored to have Bishop Wright on the line tonight. I'm really excited. So, Bishop, it's all yours. God bless you. Thanks for being on.
God bless you. I just want to thank you, Evangelist Linda, for allowing me to be a participant to Fellowship with Gatekeepers Ministry. I actually thought of your ministry's name, Gatekeepers, and connected it to your message title that you have for today. And I thought that, because this is not the first time that you've actually mentioned or interjected that thought process in terms of the name of your ministry and in regards to us being watchmen or gatekeepers or what the Bible calls us as ministers of fire. That fire dwells in us, which is the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the opportunity, because a lot of times, especially when people see a certain age group of individuals that their lives to preach the gospel or teach the gospel in our season or our age, they think we're crazy. If you recall, there was a man who walked around the streets naked as a prophet, and they thought he was crazy. But he preached, and he preached loud. In fact, there's another man they talked about as a prophet that preached so much that the word says that we are to cry out and spare none. We get our example from that, not even to look at their faces. So I thank you for this opportunity, because you keep continuing to do what thus says the Lord. And I find encouragement myself to continue to do what thus says the Lord. We minister to other countries, and we minister by our life in persecution and struggle in regards to our own standing within the gospel and our communities, and how we are persecuted or going through as the devil tries to prevent us from bringing a word. I thank everybody who's listening today on this message, who has been listening to the speakers before me. And again, I give God the glory. I give God the glory for the honor that he chooses to ask any individual to share a word, because it's a blessing. The Bible says that when someone comes in the name of a prophet, he receives a prophet reward if you offer him a glass of water. And so all I ask for anybody today that's on this line is just to have a listening ear, just a listening ear, and maybe your heart will be encouraged. Something I wanted to read prior to going into this message today, and it concerns choices in life. I think of Job, who in his state of mind that he found himself sitting on a pile of ashes with boils and maggots eating through his debris of decay. And Job said, you know, I've lost everything, and I'm facing possibly death, and my friends have talked about me, my family have abandoned me. My wife said, curse God and die. And here he finds himself and says, to the world, not just to himself. Because in that scripture, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know. I've seen him for myself. He'll stand on my grave, and I'll see him for myself. So I understand that in these days, and as I came on the line, I heard that the sister before me and you had mentioned concerning the end times. And when we look at our topic today and we talk about these virgins, these ten women, and we think about the oil and the lamp and the purpose of why they came into the scripture and what it was actually intended to say, we talk about the end times. And Jesus said, no one knows when the Son of Man will come back. Not even the Son of Man, only God himself. The apostles and what they called the Jesus had heard from them when they said, look, Lord, look at this building, how beautiful they are, how they are adorned, and how the temple itself is bright and shining and radiant and alluring and inviting. Look. How they will stand. No, they will not stand. Every stone will be torn down. Don't look at that. Every stone will be torn down. And there will be times that you will look for, and in this world you will know that things are transpiring, because you will see wars and rumors of wars. And pestilence. And disease. And you will see all kinds of things, even tribulations and trials in heavenly places. Even angels will be warned. And these are the times you will know exactly when the Son of Man will come, but they will be birthing things. But no one knows the time. It's about choices. It's about choices. And I want to share something with you today before I go into the actual message. And I know it's late, but I believe God has a word for at least as I minister unto God for me as first partaker of the fruit to bless his people, especially those who are listening here today, because God has chosen you. And he has predestined you for this time. Story, I wanted to read this to you as we open. And I said it's about choices, because in my message, it's actually about choices. It's part of that. And God's purpose, it says in this devotional, it says God's purposes and man's choices is something to consider. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It refers to all the purposes of God are eternal, but they are conditional when he relates them to man's power of choice. You heard Evangelist Linda come and offer a challenge of choice to those that are not saved and those that are also saved. So we understand that God established the terms of good and evil and reserved these terms in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the beginning of time itself. God purposed only good. The evil we know today has its source not in him, but in the devil and sinful man. Having perfect foreknowledge of sin, God decreed universal salvation for all mankind. This salvation applies unconditionally to all innocent children, and it is available to all adults under the conditions made possible by God's grace. Not something that we can earn. It is a free gift given to them that believe in faith. While salvation is for all, only those who are saved who will receive it by cooperating with God unto generation, the new birth, and holiness of life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Understand this. Without holiness, it's impossible to see God. This was all planned before the world was created. The grace of God is universal, hence the promise of the Redeemer is for every child. And none is born in the graceless state of being destined to damnation. The Bible says that God desires that no man should perish. God's saving grace is forfeited when someone chooses to depart from God and go his own way. But the promise of the Redeemer applies to all who, by the grace of God, meet the gospel conditions of faith and repentance. There were 10 women. 5 took their oil with them. And 5 left some and only took what was in their lantern. So we understand that while God provides grace to remain faithful to him until death, man can still choose to depart from God, make saving grace vain to himself, and lose his salvation. However, the promise of the Redeemer remains for a straying one who chooses to return to Christ. Even if they fail in their decision, if they come back because the offer that was just made prior to me getting was already in and on this line, was already placed in my sister's spirit because she even said something about those that are backslidden. That was predestined in her heart before the foundation of the world to be set by God. So it is the power of choice that will determine our final destination for all of us. The final judgment will reveal the choices each person has made. Beloved, I want you to understand something. Even in my own declaration of faith, I accepted Christ as my Savior in 1985 and was told at that time that salvation is a process. Now, you heard Evangelist Linda say that we grew up in the church, a nun and priest, for years, made it mandatory for us to commit our lives, to come to church on certain days, and that even 40 days every single day during Lent. But salvation was not intended to be complete until I actually made the choice for myself. Nobody else could make it for me, not my mother, not the nuns, not the priests. I had to make that choice myself. So, beloved, as I had said, in 1985, I came to the conclusion, which was actually 35 years later, to get saved. And I have come to know and believe today that salvation is a decision and a choice. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a rare pearl after searching his entire life, and now his dream is fulfilled. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, these words of Jesus. And Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom of heaven, the merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus refers that the merchant stopped seeking pearls when he found the pearl of great price. So he went and sold everything he had and bought that pearl. Such is eternal life, the incorruptible inheritance and the love of God through Christ, as it alludes to the great pearl which once found, makes further searching. Reverend Graham or Bishop Graham or Dr. Graham here at the church, the great church that's on Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia, that was once located somewhere else, New Covenant, preached that sermon using that scripture, which I gave my life to Christ in 1986 or 85. So Christ fulfills our greatest need, satisfies our longings, makes us whole, clean before God, and calms it and quiets our hearts and gives us hope for the future. Paid by Christ for our redemption, he emptied himself of his glory, came to earth in the form of a lowly man and shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Beloved, in the following scripture, the prophet waits and watches to seek what the Lord will say in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. For Habakkuk says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the ramparts. I will watch to see what he will say to me and how I should answer when corrected. Then the Lord answered me, write down this vision and clearly inscribe it on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the vision awakes at the appointed time. It testifies of the end and does not lie. Though it lingers, wait for it, since it will surely come and will not delay. Because I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the ramparts. I will watch to see what he will say to me and how I should answer when corrected. And many know that the Lord loves you when he chases you. That's the kind of love I want. God, I pray for those listening to have a teachable heart, to learn your vision and to pray into your will, God, not only in their personal life and those of my loved ones, I pray, God, but, Father, for those that are listening, God, and help them, God, also to come to a deeper knowledge along with everything that they experience in life, Father, that they will have a greater vision for the future of all mankind when the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Help us to soak, God, our hearts in your perfect desire for all mankind and to understand your greater purpose for humanity. Father, give us, those who are gathered here now, the wisdom to pray into your vision for our lives, for it comes only as we align our minds to the mind of Christ and our will to the perfect will of the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to pray, receive your word effectively. For you said, God, through your servant, through your son, through God himself that walked with man, that the Father is looking for true worshipers, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, I also know that the phrase commonly referred to as the word of God should mean much more than the printed words on a page or pages inserted into a book, but should be written across our hearts as we exhibit who we say we are, not just by our words, but by our behavior, our actions. Let our actions be the silent proclamation of your word, God. Let it be, God, forecasted, God, as we herald, God, your message to the world. For, God, you have been communicating and speaking into humanity's existence since the beginning of the world. Oh, Hashem, I deny my God. You speak continuously through creation, through the prophets of old, through the Holy Spirit, through scripture, and through the person of Jesus Christ, your son. Shall we wait on him? God, I am asking for your help today for your future and for the future of your people as we enter into the spirit realm to know you better by seeking to hear you better in every way that you speak. For even you, Lord Jesus, taught us in John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, whom is the Holy Ghost? He will guide us who are believers into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority, No, no, he won't. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare these things to us, which are the things that are to come.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. The man or woman who listens to me, watching daily at my gate.
Yes, hallelujah.
At my doorpost. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at my doorpost. That's not my words. That's what the God of heaven says and inscribed in Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at my doorpost.
Hallelujah.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, cry me, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly, I say to you, I know you not. Truly, I say to you, I know you not. Jude 25, verse 1 and 12. That scripture that I just read has given us an understanding. But Jesus used as a story, parable, an instruction in terms of the end times, the current times, the future times, of who we are in Christ and why we stay connected in to Christ by way of the Holy Spirit, trusting God's word. In the following excerpt, which is a writing from a message that I read called Know God's Newest Work and Follow His Footsteps. In the word appears in the flesh, he says, and the writer says, all who are able to obey the present utterances of the Holy Spirit are blessed. All those who are able to obey the present, not yesterday, because the ongoing presence, God's looking for true worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. All who are able to obey the present utterances of the Holy Spirit are blessed. It does not matter how they used to be or how the Holy Spirit used to work within them. Those who have gained the latest work of God are the most blessed. And those who are unable to follow the latest work today are eliminated. God wants those who are able to accept the new life. And he wants those to accept it and know his latest work. Why? It is said that you must be a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin is able to seek the work of the Holy Spirit and understand choosing. And moreover, able to put aside old notions. They're not stuck on what he should have, could have, or would have. Okay? They're not stuck on that, but their past and what they're going through. They're looking for new oil. They're looking for a refreshing. They're looking for a revision. They're looking for a reinstitution. Do you understand?
Hallelujah.
They have trusted in the bride. Oh, I'm trying to talk to you about the church, talking about the groom that has the over the bride. Oh, I'm talking about what God said he would do and what he's done already when he sent his son to come into this world. Why? It is said that you must be a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin is able to seek again, as I said, the work of the Holy Spirit. The group of people who accept the newest work of today were predestined by God before the ages and are the most blessed of people. You hear
Hallelujah.
The voice of God directly and behold the appearance of God and so throughout heaven and earth and throughout the ages, none have been more blessed than you, this particular group of people. God says all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. This particular group of people. All this is because of God's work, because of God's predestination and selection, and because of God's grace. If God did not speak and utter his words, could your conditions be as they are today? You have done, or could you be doing the things that you are doing? Thus, may all glory and praise be to God for all this is because God raises you up, not you. You can no longer, or you are ill-equipped to pull yourselves up by your own strength, okay, your own bootstraps. You are only being elevated and moving in the glory of God because of God's grace on your life. However, there is a way to do this while living in this world, and we can continue to do this as God raises us up and as I share this message with you today. Beloved, I'm always encouraged to learn that as Christians, we should be mindful of what we allow to enter into our heart by protecting what comes into our eye and ear gates and the need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 23, God tells us that this means that we need to be conscious of what we watch and hear on a regular basis, saying, my son, my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are light to those who find them and help to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. God tells us, right in that scripture, to guard what we hear and what is in our heart. He wants us to have our ears full of the precious and comforting words of Jesus and our eyes full of the presence of Jesus and our hearts meditating on what we have heard and seen in Jesus. Beloved, this is the meaning of give attention to my words and how we should be applying the word of God to our lives today. The word. For in the New Testament, which is the new covenant, Jesus is God's word made flesh. John chapter 1, 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, unmerited favor, and truth. Amen? Beloved, it is all about beholding Jesus. And as we behold him, we are transformed more and more into his likeness. Full of unmerited favor and truth. The result of paying particular attention to our ear and eye gates to Jesus is that he will be light and help to us. The Bible shows us that there is a direct correlation between hearing and seeing Jesus and the health of our own physical bodies. The more we hear and see Jesus, the healthier, stronger we become. Our mortal bodies become infused with his resurrection life and power. However, we are not merely encouraged to guard what comes into our hearts and spirit by watching what we allow ourselves to see and hear while in the world, but we are commanded as followers of Christ to enter the narrow gate, the gate, and walk the hard road to life, and not enter into the wide gate that leads to destruction. Jesus is the husband and tells us, the church, his bride, that false prophets can be recognized by their fruit, meaning their specific actions and choices, and at the same time let us know a person's good deeds are not absolute proof that someone has true faith. Amen? Instead, the Word of God teaches us to live by Jesus' teaching and to build the house of our life on a solid foundation rather than on shifting sand. It is much like the hymn called, you heard the hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand, and also known as my hope is built on nothing less. The few verses or the first few verses of this song reminds us of true hope in Christ, saying, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And you know the refrain, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On other ground, all other ground is sinking sand. Beloved, Jesus commanded his followers to choose the more difficult of metaphorical roads, each accessed by two different gates, encouraging them to choose the narrow gate in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, saying, how narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Few. They must choose the narrow gate. The wide gate opens unto a spacious, soft, and easily traveled roadway, and most will take that path, the path of least resistance. Although it leads to destruction, it will choose that path. Jesus is partly describing those who will continue to follow the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribes, as seen in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, and that of the law. Note, during this time, Israel's religious leaders emphasized that only the outward actions of the people is acceptable to God, such as circumcision or good works. The weightier, more meaningful things were ignored, and people were not taught to embrace inward righteousness before God. It was their relentless teaching towards binding others to trust in race, creed, and ethnicity, along with keeping faith in the ability to perform the law without becoming righteous in their own hearts, thus leading them to follow the path of being eternally separated. You remember the words of Jesus, what is called the seven woes, to the teachers of the law, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and what he said about them? He called them vipers and scorpions and empty whitewashed tombs. Jesus also said that these very teachers of the law could not and did not keep the very laws they taught to enforce, and instead they had put heavy burdens on people. In fact, our Lord's response was that these teachers of the law made people worse than what they were before coming to God. Perhaps it would have been better they remained and not come in the first place. Look at the fourth woe. Here Christ calls out the scribes and Pharisees for their practice of diligently paying the tithe while neglecting to actually care for people. Jesus says, while they were counting their mint leaves, to make sure that they gave exactly one-tenth to the temple, they neglected the more important matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and compassion and faithfulness to other people. Once again, they focused on the letter of the law and obeyed it with pride, but they missed the weightier things of God. What was more important? Their religion was external. Their hearts were not transformed. This kind of thinking is futile and fails. So because it fails because of man's human righteousness can never reach God's standard of perfect righteousness. For no one is perfect before the Lord by their own admonition or volition. Amen? The narrow gate opens to the hard way of following Jesus. And this gate is narrow because it is only a single and one way of salvation, which is found in Christ, John 3:16. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he that believeth in him shall not perish. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by whom we must be saved. Jesus' disciples will be persecuted by his enemies. Thus, we sometimes find ourselves in places of great opposition and persecution. It is the way his followers must travel. We as Christians, and especially those in ministry, must understand this. The path of Jesus is the only path to eternal and abundant life. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus came to save and seek the lost. But unfortunately, not all of the lost want to be found. The unfortunate reality of the narrow and wide gate Jesus is speaking of in life is that not all of us will choose. I told you it's about choice. Correctly. Follow the mainstream, what is popular, acceptable, softer, and miss out on eternal life in heaven. The brief narrative on the narrow and wide gate in the first of the four warnings Jesus gave is in regards to applying the Sermon on the Mount, the first being a caution to the lost about where they are headed. God is patient and not wanting, I said this earlier, that any of us should perish. All are welcome to walk with Jesus, for now is the gate. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came so that we would have a full life and is found in following Christ alone. The gate that leads into the kingdom of heaven is synonymous with life. The NIV says, explains destruction is the separation from God in hell. And no one comes to the Father but through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way Jesus made for us through the cross requires a choice. And I made that statement when I opened up. And a choice and response. It's not an evolution of salvation. We don't evolve to that place. We make a decision in our heart and say that out of our mouth. And our life changes. Our life changes so other people can see it and be blessed. The way Jesus made for us through the cross requires that choice and response, and our response determines our eternal destination. However, the narrow gate, the small gate, and narrow way are harder to find than the wide ones and must be sought out deliberately, or people will not escape destruction. That young man that was walking around that found Jesus and he heard who he was, said, listen, what can I do to go to heaven? And Jesus said, go sell everything that you got. And he didn't do it. The Bible says that he put his head down. And the Bible also says that Jesus loved him. And he said, listen, he told the disciples, because they asked him a question, then who can get into heaven? It's easier for a camel to get through an eye of a needle than for a
come on now.
Okay? We got it. It's about some change, y'all. And y'all can sit back and say, I got this and I will make that decision, but it's about a choice. In the Old Testament, the prophet was instructed by God to tell the people in Jeremiah 21, verse 8, the following. In the Old Testament, he says, and to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. However, the path to life is a choice. I told you that. To walk through the narrow gate, which represents the beginning of a lifelong commitment to discipleship and by becoming members of the church, meaning Christ's bride. That's the church. We are Christ's bride. I also mentioned that to you. And he is our husband. And they will never be overcome by evil. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Hallelujah.
God
hallelujah.
The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness can be seen as a symbol of evil and ignorance of God and his truth. while light can be seen as a symbol of righteousness, life, truth, and God's way. These verses introduce Jesus as the light that shines in the darkness. The world is shrouded in darkness of evil and falsehood. These five women that had their oil had enough oil for life. When their husband came, they did not need no more light. The light was in them. The light was them. Didn't they tell you something in that story? Jesus is talking about being connected. These verses introduce Jesus as the light that shines in the darkness. And as I said, the world is shrouded in the darkness of evil and falsehood. And Jesus Christ is the righteous light that not only shines in the darkness, but he dispels it. He casts away. There is no darkness in Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. I'm trying to tell you something. And in him, no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We have the choice, I said choice, to follow Jesus and have his light lead us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. In other words, you will never need to have need of oil to light your lamp, because Jesus lives in you, and he is the light. Beloved, the victory has already been won on the cross. Death has been defeated. And even while traveling through the narrow gate, it's persecuting and difficult. We collect eternal joy and peace in Christ throughout the entire journey. I don't care what man can do to me. I'm just going to trust what God's doing, regardless of what it looks
Hallelujah.
Like. Paul said, he said, if I abase and I have nothing, and I abound and I have everything, I'm content. I don't care what they do. Even if my body is shaken down and I look like I'm going to leave this body, I know I will be present with the Lord. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Then he says, but I know God has work for me to do. And if it means that I survive, I will continue
Hallelujah.
To do the work of the Lord. Beloved, Christ follows, and I end with this. Christ's followers enter the narrow gate by belief in who Christ is and what he came to do on the cross. Salvation is a gift. We all are welcome to freely accept. The difficulty of discipleship is a submission to a lifelong joy and peace. We will either follow Christ wholeheartedly or we will go down the path of destruction. There can be no half-hearted commitment to Jesus. We cannot straddle the fence. We can't be hot or cold. We can't be good today and bad tomorrow. It's not about that. Jesus is looking for true worshipers, those that will worship God in spirit and in truth. If we are not on the narrow road of discipleship, then we are on the road to eternal damnation. The pursuit of holiness to live a life that glorifies God is an absolute one-way ticket to eternal freedom. We live and leave the mainstream and look forward to eternal life in Christ. We're not hooked up into the hip-hop. We're not concerned about what's going on in the world. We're not trying to be hip and suddenly cool. We are trying to be holy and acceptable unto God. Amen?
Yes.
Remember the scripture of Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at my door. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God, I thank you, Lord, for the word. Father, I know, God, that you have done something tonight. God, I thank you, God, for the rest and the privilege, God, to be able to participate, God, in what's going on in this world. God, I ask, God, that you will invoke your spirit, God. Father, move through the word that was released today. God, I said anything, God, that will bring any glory to myself, God. But I release the glory to you, God. Have your way, Father, that we may be blessed, God. And then, God, we can, Father, run as we heard the word, God. And we can hurl and proclaim, God, what was already released, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord, hallelujah. God has blessed and anointed this broadcast this evening. I could hear it. I could feel it. I've even gotten text messages about it. I forgot to announce that if you were streaming in at 9 o'clock, there's no streaming. You would have to dial in before 9 o'clock. I totally forgot about it. But anyway, I apologize. And the broadcast goes on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry within the next 10 or 15 minutes after we close. What an honor. What a word tonight, Bishop. What a word. What a word. I felt like if you were in a pulpit, you were preaching back and forth, up and down, all around. And I could just see it and hear it. And thank you. I'm blessed. I know every word that has been spoken on this podcast this evening has been an anointed word, has been a word that is in the remnant, released. And if you're not a part of the remnant, you heard tonight how you could become a part. And it's not about anything but obeying God and obeying the word. Repeat that scripture about obeying God. What was that scripture from, Bishop? Listening. Do you remember what it was? Anyway. I'll just go back and listen on demand to find out what it was. I am so grateful and blessed tonight. I've been ministered to. I know everyone that has listened has been ministered to. Thank you, Prophetess Jacinta. Thank you, Bishop Sylvester. We each one of us have prayed, so I don't need to pray again. And I just know that anybody that listened to this broadcast this evening or will listen to it on demand will have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, because every word on this podcast tonight was from the throne room of God, was from the Ruach HaKodesh to you. So I am going to end the broadcast saying that only what we do for Christ will last. I'm going to play this song one more time that I opened with about the alabaster box. If you have to go, fine. If not, you can glean on this song. I was so edified tonight. I'm so blessed. What a... just being obedient to God blesses me, being obedient to who God picked to minister tonight, who the anointing is on. And the anointing does not come lightly. It doesn't come easy. It does not come lightly. And if you want to go back and read Matthew 25, and Matthew 26 about the woman with the alabaster box, and Matthew 25 concerning the virgins, and on down below on the talents, blessed, meditate on it. You'll get a big vision. You'll get a understanding. But there's always an understanding that comes with the anointed preached word. So God's not joking tonight. He's not playing. He doesn't play with his children. God is all about his business, and this is kingdom business tonight. Thank you, those that called in and dialed in and are listening in and have listened in and will listen in from other countries. I bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Next Thursday, we'll be on tonight with part two of this message. But part one sent us at the door waiting for the bridegroom. God bless you. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Kazris. Thank you for joining us. Please join us again.
In Jesus' name, God bless you.
what you do for Christ will last. God bless you.